evening, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Wednesday, March 4th, and this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Moving forward, the LNG Public Protection Act was formally introduced yesterday.
In Montana, the W.R. Grace defense insists the company was just following EPA instructions.
Sadly enough, that's probably true.
Yeah.
A split U.S. Supreme Court yesterday indicated it may narrowly rule a West Virginia Supreme Court justice improperly participated in court decisions overturning a $50 million judgment against the A.T. Massey Coal Company.
Portland area weather, we're in between storms today. Rain's not likely. Temperatures in the low 50s. Tonight, cloudy. Temperatures in the 30s. And then tomorrow, rain is likely.
And first up, regional news from around Cascadia. The LNG, Public Protection Act, was formally introduced yesterday. The bill number is HB 2015. This Friday, though, a front group for the LNG industry. Let's keep that in mind. They've come up with their own so-called grassroots group, Energy Action Northwest. They're going to be holding an open house and lobby day at the Capitol building. The purpose of their presence there is to convince legislators to oppose the LNG Public Protection Act. Olivia Schmidt with Columbia Riverkeeper joins us this morning to talk about HB 2015 and also this appearance of Energy Action Northwest on the radar. Thanks for being with us, Olivia.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, we're very happy that the LNG Public Protection Act has come to the floor. It's House Bill 2015, as you mentioned. The bill is not a ban on LNG, but it does strengthen the state's role in the permitting process. The two key things that the bill does is demand that there be a proven need in the state of Oregon for LNG prior to granting permits for, you know, not only the use of our natural resources like the 15 billion gallons of Columbia River water that Bradwood Landing wants to use each year for operation, but also to the other thing that it does that's really important is it demands that the LNG would meet our global warming standards in the state. So basically the high carbon impact would be considered. The third thing that it does is it requires that the LNG terminals could not be sited in an area that would diminish beneficial existing public uses of waterways like agricultural use of water, commercial fishing. If any of those things were to be disrupted, they wouldn't be allowed to receive their permit. So it's a really exciting bill. It gives the state a little bit more strength in its permitting process. Unfortunately, this group Energy Action Northwest, which is a front group for the LNG organization that has mirrored its messaging on the anti-LNG coalition, the grassroots organization, which is primarily made up of, you know, farmers and foresters, impacted landowners, people who are concerned about climate change and are proponents of energy independence. So Energy Action Northwest, this LNG front group, is doing a lobby day on Friday, and the anti-LNG coalition is holding a call-in day of action. So anyone out there who's listening who would like to contact their legislator, their House representative or state senator on Friday to urge support for House Bill 2015, I strongly encourage folks to make that call. It's relatively simple to find out who your legislator is. You can just, you know, Google the state of Oregon and navigate through the state's webpage to find a link that says Find Your Legislator.
So
the more calls that we get that day, the better it will be as this Energy Action Northwest is out there propagating the myth that we're all a bunch of, you know, radical environmental extremists when, in fact, we're day-to-day citizens who are really concerned about climate change and energy independence.
So do we know any particular people, individuals associated with Energy Action Northwest or funding sources?
Yeah, their head guy is a man named Ed Finkley who has direct relation to the LNG industry. He frequently goes to local events and speaks on behalf of the LNG industry. you know, their tagline is LNG is the blue bridge to the green future. It's just, you know, more of this wordsmithing to trick people into believing that LNG is somehow a clean fuel, which it is not.
Well, if they could come up with a name like that, you think they'd have done something about the word frankly. Anyway, thank you so much, Olivia, for that. That, of course, is Olivia Schmidt with Columbia River Keeper. Thank you.
Conservationists hope President Obama's new direction on the Endangered Species Act will derail the BLM's plan to increase logging in western Oregon. Obama announced yesterday that rather than follow rules adopted by the Bush administration giving them discretion, federal agencies should consult with federal biologists when a project might harm endangered species. Given that the trees produce the air we breathe, maybe we should preserve the forest lest we become the next endangered species.
All right, next up to bat. We have a little bit more, a few more specifics on what the Obama administration's environmental side is going to look like. The president announced plans yesterday to resume full scientific reviews of projects that might harm endangered wildlife and plants. The president signed a memorandum putting on hold a Bush administration regulation allowing agencies to avoid scientific reviews. During a visit to the Interior Department, Obama said that the review process had been undermined by past administrations. And how?
Dry winter weather in southern Oregon is affecting the rivers. The Rogue River has been running lower than normal for most of this year, with precipitation below average for 9 straight months. As of last week, less than 1,000 winter steelhead had crossed Gold Ray Dam because of the low flows, well below the average. The mountain snowpack in the Rogue and Umpqua River basins also remains low at 86% of average.
Sage grouse populations are vulnerable for many reasons, including cattle water troughs that can trap and drown birds. State biologists have come up with a quick, easy solution. No, not remove cattle from wildlife habitat. Biologists at the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife came up with this, a metal ramp that helps the animals get out of the trough once they fall in. But let's not disturb the cattle.
Yeah. A bill moving through Congress that would give D.C. a voting representative in the House may also rebound to Oregon's political benefit. Cue the experts. The experts say the bill would increase the odds that Oregon will get a 6th congressional seat after the 2010 census. It also boosts Washington State's somewhat slimmer chances of getting an extra seat in the House. And climate refugees vote.
They do. And there's going to be a lot more of them. Growth, you know. Only it's not going to be the kind of upper middle class, upscale, spend money at coffee shops type growth. It's going to be a lot scarier. A play banned from La Grande High School will instead be done at Eastern Oregon University after the president said that she had no choice but to allow a student group to rent space for the performance. The play in question, in case anyone wants to check it out, is Steve Martin's Picasso at La Panne Agile. But a professor on behalf of the Student Democrats Club at EOU offered to host the play, so the show goes on.
In Washington State, an environmental group is challenging a permit issued to the State Department of Transportation regulating how the agency manages stormwater runoff from state highways. The Puget Soundkeeper Alliance says the state can and should retrofit its highways to prevent runoff from going directly into rivers and streams, and the permit should have required this. Untreated stormwater is a main source of pollution for Puget Sound and other western Washington waters.
With regard to the previous story, one can only imagine the fun that Steve Martin himself would have with this brouhaha in Eastern Oregon. After overseeing a company at the very center of the still imploding U.S. housing market, this story should be called The Very Nerve. A dozen former countrywide executives are now poised to make millions from the mortgage crisis. When you got lemons, make lemonade, I guess is their philosophy. Stanford Curlin, the former president of Countrywide Financial and a gaggle of cronies from the now defunct firm, are running a company called PennyMac. The company specializes in, wait for it, buying up bad home mortgages that the U.S. government took over from other failed banks.
An arsonist is on the prowl in Medford for green Ford escorts from the 1990s. Three of them have been burned in recent weeks. a series that Medford Police Sergeant Mike Boudreau describes as pretty bizarre.
No comment. President Barack Obama's push to reset U.S.-Russian relations took a huge stride when he signaled this week that the Kremlin, to the Kremlin, that he might forego his anti-missile system in Eastern Europe if Moscow uses its clout with the troublesome Iran and its nuclear ambitions. The back-channel diplomatic gambit was one of the few tools that Obama had for unknotting the stalemated relationship. I wouldn't say it's unknotted by a long stretch, but that's just my opinion. The relationship, though, has in fact suffered under Bush, and one can only imagine what the back-channel memoranda consisted of. Good morning, Spencer.
Good morning, Chris.
What do you see in this type of diplomacy? Is this the best way to go? Is it the only way to go? And really, are we walking straight into a typical Vladimir Putin sort of trap?
Well, it's really interesting that Obama should, make a proposal like this. It looks like it was a memo from in January that Obama, just as you said, offered to stop the weapons defense programs in Eastern Europe, probably specifically the Kaliningrad facility, in exchange if Russia would be willing to help with the nuclear position of Iran. And if you think about this just in itself, this is probably the most conciliatory gesture from the United States to the Kremlin, in a long time, if not ever. This is basically an outstretched hand saying, look, Putin, we can work together on this Iran front, and, the United States is willing to succeed. It's interesting, though, that this should come from Obama, not Hillary Clinton, who, as Secretary of State, is theoretically the chief foreign diplomacy officer for the United States. There's been nothing out of the State Department or Hillary Clinton's office there as to what they think about this, if they had any part in this. As for Putin and the Kremlin in general, there's been no response. We don't know if they even took that seriously, if they received it, and what is, happening, if anything, along that front.
Thank you so much for that, Spencer. We'll wait and see how this one turns out. We've got just a couple of really important stories before we close this program. So let's very, very briefly just give us a headline, Liam.
A group of U.S. lawmakers upset by frivolous government spending on projects announced they want to give President Obama line item veto over budgets.
In Missoula, Montana, the W.R. Grace Company trial is underway. Defense lawyers said that based on EPA instructions, Grace was not required to provide documents that had been requested. It's going to be a long trial, and don't hold your breath, especially if you live in Montana.
The A.T. Massey Coal Company bought a judge who overturned a judgment against them, and now the U.S. Supreme Court may overturn that judge. This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Wednesday, March 4th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Kate Welsh. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints. Marjorie Cohen from the National Lawyers Guild talks about recent documents implicating Bush administration officials in torture.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.